Hi, this is Daniel Garb of the Movies for CulturalMining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. I know, everyone's still thinking about COVID-19 vaccinations and Delta, but it's also beastly hot and horribly humid out there. Wouldn't it be nice to sit in an air-conditioned movie theater, safely spaced away from the other moviegoers, of course? Well, this week I'm talking about three new movies that open this weekend: a documentary, a family drama, and a horror movie. There's a Spanish conquistador recording notes in a book, a ghostly killer whose hand is a hook, and a grifter who vows to help out his daughter by hook or by crook. Flag Day, directed by Sean Penn. It's the 1970s in the U.S. Midwest. Jennifer and her little brother Nick live with both their parents until Mom, played by Catherine Winnick, kicks Dad, played by Sean Penn, out of the house. "He's a liar and I won't put up with him anymore," she says. But after watching their mom spiral into alcoholism, the kids only have fond memories of their dad, so they ask if they can spend more time with him. They move into his ramshackle hut by a lake alongside his new young girlfriend. He teaches 11-year-old Jennifer to drive against her will, and they spend crazy times by the lake and on the highway. It's all like an exciting adventure until the motorcycle gang their father works for and owes money to start visiting the home. Dad gets beaten up and the kids are sent back to live with Mom. Later in the 80s, they're back in school. Jennifer, played by Dylan Penn now, is a goth rebel, and Nick, played by Hopper Penn, is a withdrawn teen. Mom is remarried to a creepy guy, and the kids suffer because of it. But when the stepdad starts crawling into bed with Jen, well, that's it. She has to get out of there immediately. She travels far and wide until she finds her dad, who is not in great shape. He's both mentally and financially, and his criminal tendencies start to emerge. Can Jennifer reconcile with her dad and her mom and pursue her goal of becoming a writer or a journalist? Or is she doomed to follow in their footsteps? Flag Day is a family drama based on a true story about the ups and downs of a father-daughter friendship. It stars a real-life father and daughter, that's Sean and Dylan Penn. Movie starts on Flag Day, it's a patriotic U.S. holiday, as her dad, an accused counterfeiter, is pursued by a line of police cars with a helicopter overhead. The rest of the movie is about what led up to this point. Dad trying to get away with his crimes in order to help his beloved daughter. I have mixed feelings about this film. I see enough movies, like hundreds and hundreds of movies every year, to know if it's bad in the first 10 minutes, it'll probably only get worse. But I decided to give it a try, and you know what? It gets much better. There's way too many crying scenes. Every scene of the movie involving Jennifer or one of her parents leaving or coming back is punctuated by more tears. Way too many tears. And voiceover narrators that they have at the beginning can ruin any connection you feel to the characters you're watching on the screen. On the other hand, the whole movie is nicely shot on grainy video filled with beautiful fireworks, bonfire, flaming barbecues, lots of fire and water in this movie. And the characters do actually develop and become more and more interesting as you get to know them. And the whole thing nearly pulls together by the end. It's set in Minnesota, but was shot in Manitoba, and it does have a real authentic working class feel to it. Flag Day isn't perfect, but, you know, it's not bad either once you give it a chance. "499," co-written and directed by Rodrigo Reyes. It's 1521. Cortez and a few hundred conquistadors invade the Aztec kingdom. They overthrow Montezuma and slaughter countless people, laying waste to the beautiful capital of Tenochtitlan in their insatiable search for El Dorado, the mythical city of gold. One of the conquistadors, Eduardo San Juan, survives a shipwreck and washes back to shore, complete with armor, helmet, pantaloons, and sword. So he walks from the beach to Tenochtitlan. But it's not how he remembers it. Somehow, he has just skipped the past 499 years and is now outside Mexico City circa 2020. 499 is a documentary with a twist. It's a travelogue through modern-day Mexico as seen through the eyes of a fictional relic from the past, a man mired in 16th century Christian morality combined with Spanish imperialism. He feels he can slaughter local so-called indios with impunity. But as he gradually learns and sees what Mexico has become today, the drug cartels, the corrupt police forces, along with the relentless crime, torture, and death, he's forced to rethink his beliefs. He becomes more of a passive observer, speaking with Mexicans and writing down what they say as they tell him their harrowing stories. But don't worry, it's not all sad stuff. We also see the beauty, the splendor, the weirdness, and the wonder all around him. Dance, music, acrobatics, art, culture, and history are all shown, and religion, are all shown in glorious panoramic cinematography. There are bullfights and strip bars and interviews with actual real-life masked gangsters as well as their victims. 499 is an eye-opening doc about contemporary Mexico disguised as a time travel movie. Candyman, directed by Nia DaCosta. It's present-day Chicago. Brianna and Anthony, played by Tiona Paris and Yahya Abdul-Mateen II, are a rising young couple in Chicago. They live in a luxury high-rise. She's a curator at a local art gallery and he's an artist. But when he wants his paintings included in a group show that she's curating, his gallerist says his work is getting stale. Find something new. So he sets out to explore a local urban legend to incorporate it into his work. It's the story of Candyman, a ghostly serial killer who operates, or who used to operate out of a public housing project called Cabrini Green. It was a sorely neglected area populated mainly by poor blacks, located just across the street from one of Chicago's richest and mainly white neighborhoods, the Gold Coast. And it looks like Bree's apartment was built right there on the remains of the project. Candyman tempts victims by offering them candy and then kills them surrounded by a swarm of honeybees using a sharp hook he has instead of one of his hands. And he can be summoned by anyone saying his name 5 times while looking directly into a mirror. Okay, so Anthony's latest artwork is called Call My Name, and it's a mirror that dares its viewers to summon Candyman. It's a conceptual art. It gets little notice until people associated with his art start turning up dead. Suddenly, he's a hot property, and art critics say he's important. But Anthony knows the truth. Candyman is real, he's dangerous, and Anthony's the one to blame for letting him loose on the world. Can he and Bree stop the Candyman before he kills some more people, or is it too late? Candyman is a sequel to Wes Craven's horror movie from the 90s, but it turns conventional slasher horror movies on their head. For example, Bree's brother Troy, played by Nathan Stewart Jarrett, is a flamboyantly gay man, but he's also a credible character with a life all his own, not just a victim to be laughed at. Black characters don't exist merely in reaction to whites, they're the focus of the movie. Killings are usually shown either from a distance or off camera. While there's blood, it's not extremely gory compared to most slasher movies. It's scary but not terrifying. And it's aesthetically deeply satisfying with art direction way miles above what you normally see in these kinds of movies. Minimalist composed sets, breathtaking cityscape views like in the opening credits, filmed upside down in black and white, and it uses shadow puppets to illustrate stories within the story. So cool. Filmmakers, it's producer Jordan Peele, who did Get Out, and co-writer-director Nia DaCosta are black, as are the main characters, but not most of the victims. DaCosta skewers the cutthroat world of fine art using razor-sharp political satire. Puns intended. Candyman is not a conventional horror movie and probably won't scare your pants off, but it offers lots of eye candy to look at and even more to think about. I like this one a lot. Candyman and Flag Day just opened this weekend in Toronto. Check your local listings, and you can catch $499 at the Paradise Theatre in Toronto for 2 days only, August 28th and 29th. This is Daniel Garber, the Movies, each Saturday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.